welcome to Dad's Right from the Great White North. Coo 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 coo.
I'm assuming that was a reference.
That's Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Oh, yeah. I know them. I just didn't know the reference. Oh,
okay. Yeah. They sang that song before all their... welcome to the Great White North, eh?
Yeah, no. No. I only know the Christmas song.
The 12 Days of Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah,
but you should watch the rest. All right. Well, it's been a long time.
Well, if we were consistent, it would throw people off.
Yeah, that's right. we aren't really prepared. We just happened to be together for the first time in a while, so thought we'd whip a podcast out. I know Mulrooney just died.
Oh, yeah.
So that's something.
That's a mixed legacy.
I mean, I feel like he may have been the last prime minister that was, like, a proper prime minister.
Cretchen?
I feel like if Cretchen would have done it right after Trudeau, yes, but when he finally got to be prime minister, he wasn't quite what he was. He's close, though. You're right. He's close.
What do you mean by proper prime minister?
I don't know. It just feels like someone who can get up and inspire people and... you know, have a good, like, give a good speech, inspire Canadians to work together and get along. Can't we all just get along? I mean, I think he was divisive in some ways, but you can't argue that he was a great speaker.
Cretchen?
No.
Mulroney.
Mulroney.
Mulroney was a great speaker,
yes,
you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, okay. He left office with, like, an 11% approval rating and 13% unemployment rate.
Yeah, it was a bad time. I also, you know, my beliefs on that, it has little to do with who's in power. But.
Yeah, but, well, the 11% approval rating probably has a lot to do with who's in power.
Yeah, but it's reflective of the 13% unemployment.
Yeah, yes, that's fair. But he also gutted social housing, which helps lead to the housing crisis we're in, and also... sold off a bunch of crown corporations, I think including the one that produced vaccines. That would have been handy to have around.
That would have been handy.
If we had it. And was it under him where the Chinese got all our good tech?
I'm not sure. A lot of that was stolen, though, so I don't know that that was like a giveaway thing.
Yeah, still, 26 crown corporations sold, which has led to a lot of problems in the long run. But he did rally... against acid rain and played a big role in getting the U.S. on board to stop that, and was a major world leader in bringing Commonwealth nations together against apartheid in South Africa.
Yeah, and free trade.
Yeah, I don't know about free trade anymore, honestly. The more I read about it, the more I think it's good in theory, but most of the treaties we have suck.
I think we're happier with them than the States is.
Yeah, I don't know if we should be, though.
Well, I mean, it's nobody's going to win free trade, right? That's the idea.
But it also stops us from creating laws that favor business in Ontario or business in Alberta or just business in Canada and keeping jobs here.
Yeah, but it also does the same in the States.
Yes, but people are just going to go to the States over here to begin with. So
regardless of free trade.
Yeah, but if we had if we were able to implement laws that more benefited staying in Canada over somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I think you gotta set up situations that make people wanna stay in Canada, which is difficult given the population, but you can do it. It's like on a smaller scale, you look at somewhere like Vaughan versus Toronto, right? Why aren't all businesses in Toronto? Why are they outside of Toronto? Why are they in a small place like Vaughan? Well, because they get better deals to be there.
Yeah, but it's harder to create those better deals with NAFTA in place. Because you can't institute any laws that prioritize or favor Canadians or Canada over another country.
The only issue, well, just the U.S. and Mexico.
Yeah, or any of the other countries we have different free trade agreements with.
The only issue, I think, is they should have put some more water protection in there.
Water protection. I also think we should generally work more environmental protection and workers' rights protection into free trade agreements. Like, if you're going to be part of it, you have to meet at least this standard.
That makes sense, because then you have a more level playing field as far as how much stuff costs to make.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of everybody just going to Mexico and paying everybody nothing. I mean, yeah, no, yeah. We don't pay in people
it's
anymore.
It's not a perfect system, but I think Canada overall, if you look at the numbers, have done pretty well in free trade.
We lost a lot of auto industry after NAFTA.
We lost some auto industry. They still make cars here.
Which were good, stable jobs until they weren't.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, I have problems with auto industry in general.
Why?
They just make cars that no one wants. Have you seen lots? Like, there's thousands of cars. They're just making them because it's cheaper to make 100 cars and sell one than make one car.
That's just mass production. That's just consumer capitalism.
But it doesn't make sense. But then they don't sell them cheaply.
Yeah, well, none of it makes sense.
Consumer capitalism if it reflects in the price.
No, it doesn't.
Supply and demand means there's this excess supply. It should be cheaper.
It's always been a myth that it's going to reflect in the price. People are always just going to charge as much as they think they can get away with create massive profits and dividends.
They charge as much as they think they can get away with, but that's when the consumer needs to say, hey, I see all these cars sitting around in lots. I'm not going
to
buy it.
Yeah, but they don't. They're too busy trying to get by making a more... Like, nobody can pay attention to those kinds of details because a massive portion of the population can barely make a mortgage payment.
Well, they just need to... I think it's good if you... I mean, you're buying... It's a lot of money. It's your second biggest purchase. You should be paying attention to what you're spending.
Yes.
But also, you're right. I mean, every company is going to charge as much as they possibly can. And that's the goal, really. I mean, nobody's... Unless you're a not-for-profit, everybody is a for-profit.
That's the goal. I mean, it doesn't have to be the goal. You can very easily make profit and do decently while also being a little bit more socially responsible. You're just not going to make as much money or be as absurdly rich.
Well, you just
like
have
it's
to,
just
the other thing is you just if you want to charge whatever you want, you just tax them more and give tax and then give rebates, right? So you tax the in this case auto industry more and then you give rebates for buying more eco-friendly cars or whatever or more.
Yeah.
Certain whatever cars, like, you can...
Yeah, we should be taxing industry and top earners more generally.
But then they'll leave.
That's another thing we should maybe work into free trade deals. I mean, I know...
Minimum tax.
Yeah, a minimum tax on corporations or whatever, which I think Biden has pitched 15% for a minimum corporate tax.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people pay, a lot of those big, big companies and wealthy, wealthy people pay nothing, which is an issue.
Yeah. Before, in the States, before Reagan, I think, might have been before Nixon, the wealth above a certain number was taxed at 95%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you don't need that much money.
Well, I mean, that was the... It was a conservative. Was it Diefenbaker? No, that's Canada. FDR?
FDR was not a conservative.
Who was the conservative that had the super high tax rates?
In the States?
Yeah.
Eisenhower,
that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
He had. We also, other things that we could do to drive prices down is maybe start breaking up monopolies.
That's a huge issue. And it used to be a big issue in... Like, people cared about that. And
yeah.
Now people don't.
I don't understand why we have the Competition Bureau, because they seem to approve every merger. I don't know why anyone in government or anywhere thought it was a good idea to let Rogers and Shaw merge.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. There's no competition. Like, there must be some sort of antitrust lawsuit that you could...
Well, there theoretically are, but they just don't get enforced.
No, but
like,
even just as a citizen, can't you sue?
Probably, but
Rogers?
It's going to be you and your lawyer against Rogers and 150 lawyers.
Yeah, well, I saw the Pelican brief. It can happen. You can fight the man.
I just think mergers like that shouldn't be approved. And I remember. I took a few surveys on that and was like, no, I don't like it. And I saw a bunch of numbers that come out and people are like, no, we probably shouldn't let this happen. Public opinion was against it. And the government was like seeing what the public thought, and they just let them do it anyway. Like it all that is just to pretend you did the work, right? And then
let them do it anyway. It's biggest in tech companies, right? Like if you have an idea that might bite into Facebook or Amazon, they just buy you.
Yeah.
Like $500 million is nothing to them.
Yeah.
And they just buy you. They're, Instagram used to be its own thing. Now it's Facebook.
Yeah. They're Twitter too big.
Twitter used to be its own thing. Now it's Musk.
Yeah.
Like they just take it over. It's similar with, there's different gas companies, but it's the same thing. They agree on a price. You can't tell me they don't agree on a price and charge that.
Yeah, roughly.
It's very, very obvious. I don't understand how that one gets by. I mean, they broke up. Well, De Beers had to pay millions of dollars in the diamond industry because it was a monopoly. Well, what about every other industry?
Yeah. The groceries, too, frankly. There's like two grocery chains, maybe three in Canada.
Yeah.
Like, break some of these up. It is ridiculous and allows, like, you know, they can talk about, well, it's the market price, but when you have total control over the market, you set the market price.
You are the market.
Yeah, you set the market price. You decide the market price. And don't tell me it's like producers driving up costs. Farmers aren't getting paid enough either. Like,
well, there is less and less farmers. More and more houses.
So. True, which is another problem.
That can be, especially in Ontario. I mean, you still got farmers out west, but in Ontario, the farms are becoming harder and harder to find.
Yeah, and it's so interesting to me that conservatives really pitch themselves to rural voters, but they're the ones that... And it works, but they're the ones that just want to throw open, like, all farmland and build houses on it. And we need houses. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not against building houses, but I think we need to focus on more high density and on the not good farmland.
Yeah, well, I think the problem is they've built on a lot of the not good farmland, and in order to change that, you need to, like, tear down a bunch of people's houses and put up an apartment, which can be difficult, but yeah. But once you start to build on farmland, make sure you get as many people on there that you can.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very obvious problem when you're building space for more people and at the same time you're decreasing your capacity to grow food.
Yeah. You get better and better. That's why we import most of our food, and that's why we can grow mangoes anyway, but the mangoes taste like crap here. But soon, you know, some climate change and we'll be growing mangoes in Yellowknife.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're going to get... That's true. Maybe that's why conservatives also just don't want to do anything about climate change. It's like, we're just going to get all this new farmland once that happens and...
We'll be fine.
Yeah. Long term, we're set. We're going to have all the farmland. And that's definitely not going to make the U.S. invade us to take it all.
Yeah, they won't. They won't need to. I'm not... It's like... Toronto getting bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Eventually, we'll just drift in to be North America, probably.
Like, as a country?
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm long-term very down for that. I think we need to have fewer countries to solve more problems. Like, I think the fact that we have so many nations that pretend to have different interests... is a problem for solving a lot of global issues. However, in the state of America right now, I would not want to join it. They can join us.
The problem is,
they can become part of Canada, but I don't want to become part of the U.S.
Well, you just become North America, but then you'd need a new song because I wouldn't want to do that.
See, I don't think it's just becoming North America. I think it's eventually Canada becoming a state.
Yeah, maybe. I don't. Canada's too big to become a state. But
does it really matter? Size-wise?
I don't know.
Maybe all the provinces become states. I mean, loop the Maritimes. They can become a state.
Yeah, probably.
The North can become a state. Although, we separated Nunavut from Northwest Territories to give some. That's the other theoretical problem with merging with the U.S. is the U.S. going to take on all the treaties with Indigenous people? It's really hard to do, but the U.S. has a worse track record with Indigenous people than Canada, which is saying something.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty theoretical at this stage, but I think you'd definitely want that at least written down somewhere.
Yes. You know, speaking of new countries, a poll came out recently with the highest support for Quebec independence in a very long time.
Oh yeah, what was that number?
It was 48 against 41 for.
Oh wow.
And it's been a while since it's been above like 35 for.
Yeah, is that a lot to do with Trudeau?
I think it's partially to do with Trudeau and partially the current leader of the Parti Québécois is very popular.
Right, but you can vote. I mean, the Parti Québécois was in power for a while and they still didn't separate.
No.
But was it for the Parti Québécois or for separation?
No, it was a specific poll on separation.
Well, that's not good.
But also, it might just go down, you know. Maybe it is partially Trudeau.
Yeah. Well, won't have that problem much longer, I don't imagine.
No, next year, I think. Did you know, if we do make it to 2025 and have an election 4 years after the last one, it'll be the first time in Canadian history a minority parliament has served a full term.
Wow, that's impressive. Good for him.
Never happened before.
And I was reading the other day, did they reach a pharmacare deal with the NDP?
Yep. Bill's been introduced to set up a national framework for a slow rollout, sort of like with dental care. But first things first, insulin and contraceptives will be free with, I imagine, a prescription. I don't think you can just go up to a pharmacist and say, give me condoms.
These condoms.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it quite works like that. But I think with a prescription...
All contraceptives?
I don't know. I don't think you can be prescribed condoms, but like an IUD.
Yeah, or like birth control.
Yeah.
But, you don't want to necessarily be on medication long term.
Yeah, no. But, so yeah, that is why it
maybe
might last.
Make it so you can prescribe condoms.
Maybe. But that is a big reason why it might last till 2025, because the NDP had set a March 1st deadline for that to happen. And that was the big, I think, stickler. Like, they were already late, and the NDP had already set two hard deadlines that they let pass.
Hardish.
Yeah, exactly. I think everything else they're still on track for the supply and confidence agreement.
That's good.
So it might make it till 2025.
You thought 2024 for sure. Actually, didn't you think 2023?
I thought it might happen end 2023 or 2024. I'm not convinced it won't happen this year. I mean, stuff...
We're already March.
It
could happen in...
We're already March. They've only been sitting for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
And then because Brian Mulroney died, they're taking another 2 weeks off.
What?
Yeah. Put together a state funeral or whatever.
2 weeks?
Yeah. I think so. Or maybe it's just agenda got delayed. I don't know. They were supposed to March 1st debate an NDP emergency motion to get humanitarian supplies to Gaza. But then Brian Mulroney died, so now they're not going to talk about it till March 18th.
That's crazy.
Because the situation in Gaza can wait. Brian Mulroney died. So.
That seems bizarre. I get that maybe you take a day. He was a prime minister for a long time, but 2 weeks seems a little excessive.
Yeah. But again, I should say I don't know for a fact they're taking 2 weeks off. It might just be that they took like 2 days, and one of them was when they're supposed to debate this motion, and it just got moved all the way to the end.
When it was free.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't know.
It feels like you just should sort of move things back. Like, how does an emergency motion get bumped to the end of the line?
I don't know. Parliamentary procedure.
Not such an emergency, I guess.
No.
What? I was going to say something. What was it about? Oh, the bill that was introduced about electoral reform.
Yeah. M86, I think it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bill. It was technically a motion.
Sorry. Yeah. So it's not a bill till it's passed, which it did not. Spoiler alert.
No, I think it's not a bill if it's not introduced by the government.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the government is the only party that can introduce... Well, not even the government. Cabinet is the only thing that can introduce things to potentially become laws. Everything else is parliament calling on the government to do things.
Right. Okay, gotcha. So, anyway, there was a... motion on electoral reform. I actually wrote, I think it's got to happen. It's ridiculous what's going on here. And every person that votes should be behind this.
Yeah.
I think. If you are a member of the Conservative Party or the Liberal Party, you probably don't want it.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you're a real partisan hack, then you probably don't want it.
But only if you're, almost right now, the way the country is right now, only if you're liberal.
Yeah.
Because the last couple elections, conservatives got the most votes.
Yeah, they still wouldn't have formed a government if it was proportional.
It'd be a minority.
No, but if it was proportional, they wouldn't have formed a government. The liberals...
Well, they would have had to make a...
Yeah.
Pact with... But you're going to have more parties. You're always going to have to make pacts. That's the way...
Oh, yeah.
Like, if nobody gets 50% of the vote. Hardly ever.
No. If we got... Although it happened recently in New Zealand.
Yeah, New Zealand.
But if we got proportional representation... The conservatives, almost every party would split in two. Like, I think the conservatives definitely would become two entirely different parties. I think the NDP would split in two. I think the Liberal Party would stay the Liberal Party, but, like, the progressive half of it would leave and join a section of one of the two that's split off from the NDP.
Yeah, it makes sense. There would be more factions because you're more likely to get a seat as not a member of a major party.
Yeah. And potentially even get into government. You might not be the leading partner in a coalition.
Yeah,
but you could still have
every seat becomes important. You could have two seats and be the key to a coalition.
Yeah, absolutely.
And get something done, or at least your thoughts at the table.
Yeah, sort of have to listen to you.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And I mean, I think we are heading into, we're not even heading into, I think we're in an era of mostly minority governments. I mean, if you think about it, since the 21st century, we've had two majority governments.
Yeah.
Like, we came into the 21st century with a majority government. But then since then, the Conservatives won one in 2011 and the Liberals won one in 2015. But 2006, 2008, 2019, 2021 all returned minority governments.
Yeah, and I think the next one may... The Conservatives have a chance to be a majority. They have a chance.
Right now, they're in firm majority territory. But I honestly think with a campaign, they will just lose ground the whole campaign. I think they'll still win. But I think when all eyes are on them, Pierre Poilievre is going to come out as too extreme for most people.
Yeah, but they have a chance. It's... Regardless of how extreme he is, there's going to be a big anti-Trudeau vote.
Yes, and it'll be interesting to see where that moves and how the anti-Trudeau feelings hold, because I know I've met people at my school that were considering voting for Poilievre because they didn't like Trudeau and because of Pierre Poilievre's supposed focus on housing. But as they watched him more, and as they saw him come down hard against trans people and say a lot of socially conservative things, they moved away from him and are no longer comfortable with voting for him.
It's got to be back to Trudeau.
Well, or there's... I mean... Logically, perhaps, but a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people who will vote all over the place. Like, I think, like, the specific person I'm thinking of is going to vote NDP.
They took two steps left.
Yeah. And there's a lot of, I mean, especially in rural areas and especially out west, there's a lot of blue-orange voters.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Alberta.
Yeah. Like, you either vote Conservative or NDP. Which doesn't make a ton of sense. That to me, that just means, like, you don't really have strong opinions or informed opinions, because those aren't similar parties.
they're pretty far apart.
Yeah, but I don't know. People's minds, you know, work differently. So
I'm not voting for them. I'm not voting for them. So I'll vote for these guys.
Yeah, it is just a.
It's a protest vote. To be honest, that's how Bob Rae won in Ontario.
Yeah.
I'm not voting for him. I guess that leaves Bob Rae.
It's how Rachel Notley won in Alberta. the time she did. It's yeah. So I'll be interested to see how that fleshes out. What's been really amazing to look at in polling is how the Liberal collapse has not benefited the NDP at all.
Yeah.
The Liberals are polling in the 20s, 20%. Last election, they got like 33 or something like that.
Is that of the alliance? People lump them together?
I think partially. I think it's also just Jagmeet Singh's a bad leader.
He's not super inspired. And we've said this before, I think, on this podcast, especially even more than the other two parties, which have ingrained votes that will never change. The NDP needs a dynamic leader.
Yeah, and Jagmeet Singh isn't really that.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
But
fine isn't going to win with the NDP.
No, with the NDP collapsing, with the Liberals collapsing, it should benefit the NDP somewhat. But they got 18% of the vote last time, and their highest poll has them at like 23%, which is decent. But there's also polls that have them still at 18 or 17%.
Yeah, plus they tend to poll higher than the actual votes they get, typically.
So I'll be interested.
People like to say, I'm going to vote NDP, but then they get in there like, actually, I'm just going to stick with the Liberals.
Yeah, because they're scared of the Conservatives.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting next time. Again, once an election comes around and more people pay attention, it'll be interesting to see if enough people think, well, the Liberals don't have a shot either way, so maybe I'll vote NDP.
Maybe. It should be interesting. Anyway, back to that bill. I know we both wrote letters to our MPs.
Yes.
So yours, Michael Chong?
Michael Chong. He didn't
listen. Got back to you.
He did. And he said basically nothing. A lot of vacant politician, meaningless nothing.
But you got a response.
Yes. And then he voted against the motion.
He voted against it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess then mine was better because Mike McLeod did not get back to me in any even thank you for the email. However, voted for the motion.
Yeah. Did you check your spam? Because most MPs at least have an automatic reply set up that is just a computer getting back to you saying, hey, thanks for emailing. We get a lot of emails. Might take a while to get back to you. I'm shocked that you didn't get an automatic reply back. I wouldn't be surprised if you just never heard from him, but a direct response, but you probably got an automatic reply back. But anyway, the motion didn't pass.
Nope, no reply. Checking my spam right now. Zero reply from Michael McLeod.
Very weird. It got the motion got the highest support that electoral reform has ever had in the House of Commons. Over 100 MPs voted for it. Not enough to make it pass, but over 100 MPs voted for it.
Well, that's not nothing.
No, it's progress. And it got votes from every party.
That's good.
The only 3 out of 114 conservatives voted for it.
Conservatives should vote for it.
I know. I know they should. But, yeah.
It's set up right now for liberals to win.
Yeah, but at this very moment, they're set up to win one of the biggest majorities in Canadian history.
Yeah, it'll likely be, I shouldn't say always, because occasionally it does fall along what's projected, but typically it ends up being a lot closer than the polls. It doesn't matter who goes into it. After they've been governing a while, there's big leads, and then they actually come to vote, and people still stick with their long, regardless of what they say, and then it ends up being close.
We'll see. I mean, it wasn't close in 2015.
Yeah, occasionally. That's occasionally, but normally it ends up being close.
Yeah. But I think it will get closer than polls certainly show. But
2015, that was Trudeau's first.
Yeah.
That was, people were voting for Pierre there. Like, they weren't voting for Justin. They were voting for the Trudeau name.
Maybe. But Trudeau, before Trudeau was leader, the Liberals were consistently polling in third. And then, but you think it's just all the Trudeau name?
I think it's mostly the Trudeau name. Yeah. He also came out and made a lot of electoral reform.
Yeah.
He made a lot of promises in that first year that were, appealing as well. And since has forgotten that he said it, I guess.
Yeah. I 2015 will be the last election under first past the post.
Yes, that's right.
That was what was said time and time again in debate. Wasn't.
Other than the next few.
Yeah, exactly. But no, even before the last two elections, polling was closer. The Conservatives have like a 20-point lead right now. It's hard to miss it by that much. I agree. I think it will be closer than 20 points. But even if it's a 5-point lead, that's a majority government.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it minor swings.
It does depend how it breaks down in Ontario and Quebec. Like, you can, like the last couple of years, they've won the popular vote.
Barely. Very slimly. They have. Yes.
It doesn't matter if they won. Like,
yeah.
If you win 2-1 or you win 10-1, you still win.
And that is, we're electoral, first past the post, right? They won that because they were driving up massive super majorities in the prairies.
Yeah.
Winning like 70 to 80% of the vote in some ridings. But it doesn't matter. You win it by 1%, you win it by 50%.
Exactly.
It's the same result.
It's the same result. You win by one. So it doesn't, that's what I'm saying. Like the polls, depending on where they're polling and who they're polling, it can be way off.
Yeah. If you live out west, because one of the biggest complaints out west is that the government is just Ontario and Quebec, you should especially be rooting for electoral reform, yeah, because that's 100%. When you pay attention. Even the Conservatives who win in the west don't pay attention to the west because they know they're going to win it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you want somebody to pay attention to you, you need to matter. And right now, the west doesn't matter because no matter what, outside of maybe 10 seats across Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Alberta, every seat's decided right now.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah. And those 10 seats are in Saskatoon, Winnipeg, and Edmonton.
Yeah, the cities.
Yeah.
Not even all the cities.
No.
Cities with universities?
No, Calgary has a university. Regina has a university.
Yeah,
okay. There's like one seat in Regina that has like a 30% chance going NDP, but not very good.
Well, it should be fun. A fun year. When do you think they'll start campaigning? Next January, like 10 months from now?
I don't know. It's about...
When does the election have to be called?
Spring of 2025, I want to say. Yeah. But maybe fall of 2025. But a campaign period, it's not the U.S., right? It's not like where you're just always campaigning.
It's not like you're just... I won. Now let's start the campaign.
Exactly. The set campaign period is essentially decided by the government and can be anywhere from 30 to 60 days, I want to say. And be outside of that, you're not allowed to do a lot of campaign spending.
Yeah, that's true.
We have better election laws than the U.S.
We do. Speaking, we have some bad choices up here for leaders. But
yeah.
Ultimately, a million times better than our friends south of the border that are heading into an election.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Honest to goodness. It's the old man election. Like, they are both old.
They're the two oldest men to ever run for president, beating the records they set last time.
Yeah, exactly. This is the one I don't get. I get Trump. I understand that. He's a narcissist. He needs people to love him. He also needs to stay out of jail, so he wants to win again. You know, there's a lot going on there. That one I completely understand. I do not understand Biden. I do not understand. When he went in, he said, I'm just doing this for one term. Then somebody else can take over the mantle. Like, that's what he said.
It's the same reason Trudeau is running again. Like, Biden was supposed to, a little bit, Biden was supposed to do one term. Trudeau was supposed to resign after the last election. That was what everybody inside was saying. And then the opponent came in. And then Trump came in again. And Biden feels, I'm the only person who's beat Trump. And someone has to do it, so I can do it. And Trudeau feels, I'm the only person who can beat Polyev. It's ego, yes.
I think almost anybody has a better chance against Polyev than Trudeau. Almost anybody.
Probably, because most of it's an anti-Trudeau vote at the moment.
I would say the same thing about Trump. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a serious Democratic presidential candidate that has a worse chance against Trump than Biden.
I don't know, the next person in line would be... I mean, I know it's not in line. There would be supposedly a primary, but there is, like, the Democratic establishment would definitely back Kamala Harris, and I think she would do worse.
Would they?
Yes. She's the VP.
No, I know, but that doesn't mean you're going to be the next.
It generally does.
The problem with that, I don't like the way they do that. Like Bernie got a bum rap.
Yep.
In a number of years by his own party. He would have crushed Trump.
It's an ish on his own party. The only, like, because Bernie's not a Democrat, he's an independent.
Yeah, fair enough.
He caucuses with the Democrats, and he ran for the Democratic nomination, but he's an independent. And he's done it, like, that's how he has won his Senate bids. He's got the Democratic nomination and then dropped the party affiliation to run as an independent.
Yeah.
And then the Democrats don't nominate anyone against him. And he would have probably done the same thing as president. He probably would have got the Democratic nomination and then dropped the party affiliation, run as an independent.
He's too old now, but who knows? But
he's probably too old, but at least he's old with better ideas.
Yeah. But the, there's got to be, I think someone like Jon Stewart would be great.
Yeah, but he wouldn't do it. He doesn't want to be a politician.
That's who you want to be your politicians.
I know, but you can't force it on anybody.
You should be able to. Just write in, and then you just have to take the job.
Yeah.
You can't say no.
Yeah. No, it's true that Biden's not great.
Like, just someone but, thoughtful with something.
I mean, it probably would be Kamala Harris, right? The nominee after Jimmy Carter was his vice president, Walter Mondale. The nominee after Reagan was his vice president, George H.W. Bush. The nominee after Clinton was his vice president, Al Gore.
It doesn't work well for Democrats.
No, it doesn't work well for Democrats. The last time it worked was before I can remember. Like, I can't actually remember if it ever worked because the last two times the Democratic vice president became president immediately after was FDR because he died, so Harry Truman, and then
JFK
because
he was shot.
Died LBJ, right? Biden, I guess, kind of, but there was the break in the middle because he didn't run for the nomination, and I don't know if he could have beat Trump the first time in 2016. I don't know. I'm not saying I'm not saying I don't think he could have. I think it would have been better than Clinton.
Yeah. He didn't even run, right? It was Sanders Clinton, basically.
No, yeah, Biden didn't run for the nomination. Yeah. He had just lost his son, I think.
Maybe, yeah.
Very recently. And so he didn't want to, which makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see.
To be honest, if they wanted, I remember in the beginning there was a couple of blunders by Harris, and then she just, you never heard from her for 4 years.
Yeah, in the beginning she was awkward and weird, and then they've just hid her away in a closet since then.
Which seemed like a massive mistake. Like, okay, she's awkward and weird, but work through it. Like, you got 4 years.
Yeah.
Keep putting her out there, work on her, whatever needs to be worked on. I don't know, but if you want this to be your succession plan, the plan isn't, oh, I've been working in the background and I'm going to be the running mate again. It's like, I haven't heard from you in 4 years.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Oh, and you're still there?
She was, like, she garnered a lot of media attention as a tough senator. And I remember seeing some videos and thinking, like, she is impressive as a senator. And I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Like, that she just went weird when she was elected as vice president.
Maybe she was trying to make too many people happy. I don't know.
Maybe.
But yeah. Weird. Very weird. And like seemingly just a huge sort of mistake by the party or whoever decided that we're going to put you in the background, but we want you to run next.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
No. No. It'll be interesting to see if Biden wins again. First of all, there's no way in hell he serves a full term.
You think he's just going to die before that?
Or step down halfway through. There's just no way in hell. He's going to be 82, by the election. He'll be going on 86 by the end of four terms. How the hell does he... I mean, senators have served for long. There's senators older than 86, but that's a little different than president.
Yeah, you don't want your president pulling like a Mitch McConnell there and rebooting mid-speech.
Yeah, twice. Yeah. Did you see that news? Mitch McConnell's stepping down as... he's staying on a senator, but stepping down as the majority leader? Or, well, the Republican Senate leader, minority leader.
Just step down, period.
I don't know if he'll run again for Senate, but I don't think he's up for another 2 or 4 years.
Oh, wow.
But he'll stay on until the Republicans pick a new leader in November.
Oh, I wonder who that'll be. Surely somebody insane.
There's like four people named John who will probably, and I'm being totally serious, there are four senators all named John who are considered the four most likely to take it up.
Well, that's good. It's good to have a John.
Did we ever talk about George Santos? Did we lose the George Santos because we didn't talk for so long? And now he's gone?
Yeah.
And the Democrats won that special election. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I did. That was crazy. Like, that guy is crazy. How do you can't... What made him think he could get away with that?
He did for a long time.
But until somebody's like, hey, he's a senator. Let's just check if he went to Harvard
or whatever
he said. Like,
yeah, representative. But yeah.
No, he did not. I wonder what else he liked. Oh, everything.
Yeah. It's crazy. And
it's like that. It's like Catch Me If You Can.
Yes. That's a good movie. So the Republican House majority is getting smaller. We also missed all the Kevin McCarthy drama, which was wild.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's true.
Him getting ousted as Speaker, and then for the second time, they aren't able to...
didn't they have the most no's?
Most ballots to elect him to begin with, and then it was a pretty big no to oust Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah.
And then they went through like another four people trying to elect him Speaker before they landed on Mike Johnson.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah, it's not good. They're going to lose. Even if Biden... What's incredible is how Democrats are overperforming polls across the board, except at the presidential level.
Yeah.
Every by-election, every recent election, Democrats have overperformed in. They're staring down a very tough Senate map next time and risk losing their slim majority of 51. And they need 50 if they have the presidency, 51 if they don't have the presidency to have the majority. But recent polls in Montana, a red state, puts their candidate and incumbent ahead. Same as in Ohio. And those two, if they keep the presidency, they only need to win those two. All the others, they're probably okay. And they're going to lose West Virginia. Oh, and now Arizona puts them ahead. They're going to lose West Virginia. I hope they just accept that. Like, Joe Manchin's not running again. Good riddance to bad rubbish. They're not going to keep it with another Democrat. And I'm kind of worried they're going to spend money there, and they shouldn't. Yeah. Give it up. Give it up for lost. It's done.
Worry about the places you have a shot in.
Yeah, Ohio, Montana, Arizona. They might need to defend Maryland because Maryland has a very popular, moderate former Republican governor running for the Republican nomination. Uh-huh. Very moderate. Has come out against Trump. And like, this Republican endorsed Biden over Trump. And he's very popular in Maryland, so he could...
Who's that?
Win Larry Hogan.
Oh, okay.
He could theoretically win that seat.
What's Mitt Romney? He also said he's not voting. He'll vote for Biden.
Mitt Romney said he'd vote for Biden over Trump. He's not running again for Senate. That's Utah, though. It doesn't matter.
No, I know. I'm just wondering where he was.
Mitt Romney was born in, I think, Illinois, was the governor of Massachusetts, and is currently the senator from Utah.
He gets around.
Yeah.
The other thing we never talked about was like the rise and fall of Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, DeSantis. He's went up from... There was times where he was polling above Trump.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And then And
until
then
until the campaign actually started.
And people started actually paying attention to him and realized he didn't have a personality. Or like, he wasn't likable even amongst Republicans. He was just so desperately unlikable. And interesting, we'll see what happens to him because he can't run for another term as governor of Florida.
Wow. He's going to be mayor of Orlando or something.
Or he might go for the nomination again next time. But
not Orlando, because I don't think Disney likes him much.
No, exactly. And Disney controls Orlando politics. they basically decide who's mayor. I imagine he'll either go
he
for
could
a...
be the mayor of Miami. I could see him as the mayor of Miami. Yep. That requires like that sort of gold chain.
No, I imagine he'll go for a Senate run. I think he'll probably go for a Senate run. But the problem is it's two Republican incumbents in Florida right now. So he'd have to either challenge an incumbent or hope somebody steps down. But that's what the last governor of Florida did. He's current senator.
Yeah.
We'll see. And then I bet he runs again next time, but like as a nobody candidate who lost his shot, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
He won't be anything important, which is good. He shouldn't be anything important.
No. Well, I think... you got a pack?
Yeah.
Flying back to Ontario today?
Yes, indeed.
So we should probably wrap this one up.
Yeah, good.
It's been a good week. Oh, we got to see the Northern Lights. The Northern Lights were very strong early this week.
Yes, I met Santa.
Monday and Tuesday. That's a story you should really tell.
I went dog sledding, and we got put in as my friend Alice, and there's three in a bobsled or dog sled, so they put somebody else with us. He was a very large man who looked a lot like Santa. And then we all got to talking, and he said he works as a Santa, October to December, has for a while. And he's the official Santa of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's does a lot of work as Santa for Coca-Cola. And he has been Santa on Zoom in countries like Ireland and Japan and across this country. He gets around and apparently does a lot of money for it.
And gave you a Santa coin.
Yes,
like for free. For one free present or something somewhere? Like, can you cash that in for anything?
Nope. It's worth apparently $20 US is what he sells them for, and I got one for free.
I feel like I want my own coins now.
They're large and heavy.
It's almost like a business card.
I think it is his business card.
Yeah.
It's his, and I don't know why he thought we would need to hire a Santa. He's based out of Toronto.
Doesn't everybody need to hire a Santa?
If you need a Santa. He lives in Windsor, but he works in Toronto and stays in Toronto October, December. He used to be a cop.
He does look like Santa.
Yeah, and he spent a lot of time, he was telling us a story, and he spent a lot of time talking about the race of the person involved in the story, which was weird. It was very weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was very uncomfortable.
You don't expect that from your Santa.
No. No, he liked to talk about himself a lot, too. Very, very interested in him. His favorite topic of conversation.
Yeah. Well, that you do expect.
Yes.
Yeah. And, yeah, so a couple of great nights, and early. They were out early.
Yeah, like 8 p.m.
8 p.m., there was really good lights. The first night, it was twisting towards the moon. They were incredible. And you got to hit most of your favorite restaurants.
Yes.
Shout out to... And also, the interesting thing was last time you were here, you were underage. So we got to go to like the Black Knight and Woodyard, which were both great. A lot of fun. Where else did we go? Oh, Sushi Cafe.
Sushi Cafe's great. Cafe. Shout out to Sushi Cafe.
And Ginger Beef. Shout out to Ginger Beef.
As a concept.
It's fabulous. Sushi Cafe makes the best ginger
beef. Yes. You met Lily James.
Yeah, we can't talk about that. I'll have to edit that out.
Oh. Didn't know that.
That's all right. But we watched Yesterday last night.
Yes.
That won't make any sense within the context.
So wait. We watched Yesterday last night, the movie.
Yeah.
Very good. I've never
Dylan's
seen it
first
before.
Time, probably my fourth time.
Yeah, and it was very good. I did enjoy it.
Yeah, I really like that movie. It's one of my... And I thought it was one of those movies that was made on a shoestring and made a fortune, but... It was just, it cost $25 million and only made 160 or something.
Something like that, yeah.
So it's not quite what I thought it was, but it should have made more. Go watch it if you haven't watched it. It's a good movie.
It is.
Well acted. Ramesh?
I thought it was...
Hamish?
Hamish, something like that.
Hamish, yeah. Hamish.
Something.
Something, and Lily James.
Lily James.
Yeah.
Very
both
good.
Do a great job. And a bunch of other people also do. Oh,
Ed Sheeran?
Ed Sheeran's in it, who's great, but
Kate McKinnon is very funny.
Steals the show.
She's very funny.
She's so good at it.
Yeah.
I hated it, but I didn't care enough to listen a second time to figure out why.
Yeah, she's got some good lines.
Yeah.
You're not attractive.
You're the best you can look.
You're thin, but still somehow round.
Oh, such a good movie. Anyway, that was our week in a nutshell. Maybe we'll try to do one of these remotely, or maybe we'll just wait till the next time you're around. We'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for listening, and we will talk at you again next time.